Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Let's turn your Bibles, book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. A few things, interesting things from public reading. You know, one of the things that the Scripture actually tells us is to pay attention to the public reading of Scripture. And there's some reasons for that. One of them is people don't always read their Scripture the way that they should. One of them is that people don't always pay attention when they're reading. And guys, sometimes when stuff's read publicly, some things that hit you that you otherwise miss. And so we do that here as a practice. And just a couple things that jumped out at me today is Jehoshaphat, as great as a king as he was, this guy, not the quickest guy in the world. Do you remember his words? We read this recently in public reading in reference to when King Ahab was king of Israel. And he wanted this alliance with Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat said the same thing. I am as your people. You know, I'm with you, man. My people is your people. My horse is your horses. And how'd that turn out? Now we have Jehoram, and he's asking the same thing. And Jehoshaphat jumps in. Oh, yeah, I'm with you. One thing I will give Jehoshaphat credit for, though, both times, he did ask, isn't there a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire of? Brother, you always, no matter what anybody else says, no matter how good a salesman they are, no matter what the temptations are to join an alliance, you want to ask the question, what's the Lord saying? That was Jehoshaphat saving grace right there. And Elisha was willing to have a conversation only because of Jehoshaphat. Because the kings of the earth do not impress the King of Kings. It doesn't matter your position, doesn't matter your power in this earthly realm. God doesn't heed the words of the wicked. What Josh was sharing with us this morning. And so we want to make sure it's only those who actually have Christ in them that God hears our prayers and He attends to our needs. So let's make sure we keep things in the right perspective. Romans chapter 6, I got to be kind of quick today. I wanted to read this whole chapter, but there's no way. I'm just wrapping this up here. Let's pick it up in verse 15 through 23. Romans 6, verses 15 through 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do praise your awesome and holy name. We thank you, Father, for caring about us. What is man that you remember him? Or the Son of Man that you would concern yourself over him? And yet, Lord, you looked down upon us and you heard our groanings. We were in slavery, in bondage to sin, and Father, you sent a champion. You sent a Savior. You sent a Deliverer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your perfect plan in bringing us into fellowship with you through Jesus Christ. That when we are immersed into Christ, we are immersed into His death. That, Lord, in those waters, that You put to death the old man and You bring forth someone brand new, a new creation. Someone to walk in Your ways and in newness of life. Created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Lord, we're thankful for the ongoing exhortation and reminder to us who are in Christ Jesus of who we are, that we have been bought with a price. Lord, that You have made us saints and that we are now slaves of righteousness. Lord, I ask that You be with me today as I preach Your word, that I will be able to encourage and edify and really help us all to want Your life, to die to self, and to live to You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've been working on Romans 6 for quite some time, and you know, the first part of this chapter is really, really clear. There are all sorts of, I'm just going to say by way of passing, there are all sorts of man-made ways of salvation. Because I don't care what any human being on the face of this earth says. There's only one Savior. Jesus Christ our Lord. What matters is what He says. I personally don't understand the concept that when we have, you know, Jesus is clear about discipleship. And one of the things He says is, you know, you if you're a king and you're in battle and you have 10,000 men in your army and you see one coming against you with 20,000, well, he's still yet far away. You send messengers out to him, right? And my loose paraphrase of this is, you wave that white flag of surrender. The terms of peace. You aren't offering these terms. You are submitting to the terms of the powerful king. And nobody gets to come to Jesus and say, hey, these are the terms on which I would like You to accept me back into Your family. It doesn't work that way. One thing about the prodigal son. And the father was interested. And when he saw the son coming back, he ran out to meet him. But the son came back on dad's terms. We got to remember this, because we got a religious world that is got this thing totally upside down. It is still trying to make you God. They're trying to give you the opportunity to make you feel good but about coming to God, but on your terms. It doesn't work that way. The Lord's clear, and we've read the first part of Romans 6, and it is, you die. You die. Yesterday, Caleb Mills, immersed into Christ. Old man put to death. Levi LaForge, immersed into Christ. Old man put to death. Because that is, that something happened there. But that's the start of something that continues to happen. You lay aside the old and you put on the new. Amen? This is an ongoing, continual process here. And so, the Lord views us, the church, as an army of resurrected soldiers, and He wants each of us individually to do our part. To present the members of this body as weapons of righteousness. And so, this section that we read today is a little more, it's a practical thing. And it says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. So, because there is, we can talk about by faith all the things the Lord has done for us and continues to do. And we live by faith, don't we? But there is a practical side of this that you can talk about theory all day long and never implement it in your life. The bottom line is this, guys. We are creatures of habit. I think I was telling Levi that the wonderful thing about the renewing of the Holy Spirit, I'm just as new in Christ today as I was years ago when I came up out of those waters. Holy Spirit continues to renew me. But by God's grace, I'm better off because with His help, I've actually been able to put into practice some habits of righteousness. That's a good thing. The Lord wants us to put on the new self. He wants us to have habits of righteousness. So we are creatures of habits. We're talking about this. And the principle It's really clear. I've got to speed this up. But there is a law, an important spiritual law. And Nolan really brought this out. Nolan's and Josh's both are going to work in with what I'm preaching on today. But guys, you never make a deal with the devil. He never follows through. You know, I love what Nolan brought out. Here these kings are, and they're offering money to the king of Assyria. And what are they? They use that to go and destroy them. Right? To put the siege against them, to try to bring them into captivity. The devil's the same way. Are he willing to make really good offers? The spiritual law is this. You sin, you die. That law was put in place in the Garden of Eden. The day you eat, you shall surely die. Now, the devil has a spin on that. He didn't pitch it that way, did he? He talks about the benefits. As any good salesman, we're going to emphasize the benefits. And I'm going to tell you the problems. The devil, good salesman. He pitches that fruit, and it's desirable. It's a delight to the eyes. It's good for food. It's able to make one wise. This is what's pitched. And Adam and Eve, they bought. They ate. Oh. And they died. The law of sin and death. You know, there's no question about it. The scripture calls it, there's passing pleasures of sin. In the moment, man, I'm sure in the moment, that fruit was good. I'm sure it went down well. I'm not so sure that they anticipated that as a result of that sin, as a direct consequence of that sin, their children would take after their footsteps and one of them murder another one. That's the way this works. The devil embellishes benefits and avoids discussion of the cost. He oversells, underdelivers, and actually, and more often than not, and I think what Nolan brought out was pretty clear, there's bait and switch tactics that go on. That's the way the devil operates. And so, you know, we think about this. We live in a world of instant gratification. The state religion that's taught in the public school system is humanism, secular humanism. That means be your own God. That's the world we live in. I remember one time Kevin Simpson talking, and I was in the group, and he's like, yeah, those humanist temples, talking about the public school system. Somebody asked later, why did he call that humanist temple? Because that's what they are. Yeah, we, every which way in this country, we are being sold, be your own God. We are being trained up from the time we're young to, if it feels good, do it. You do whatever you want to do. And there's no discussion of the costs associated with that way. We have examples. How about Esau? Sold his own birthright for a single meal. Guys, that's expensive meal. That meal, the price of that meal, had an eternal cost. I want to remember that. The foolish choice of the flesh in the moment over the spirit. You know, it's interesting. What, as a Christian, is Christianity hard or easy? Yeah, yes. I mean, Jesus will talk about this is difficult. Strive to enter that narrow door, right? Many want to enter and aren't able. It's tough. At the same time, Jesus will say, hey, my yoke is easy, my load is light. Which time was he right? Both times. In the moment, it's difficult to choose the spirit over the flesh. But it is easy
the rewards of that choice.
Choosing the flesh over the spirit. In the moment, that's it. You just don't think. You choose the flesh over the spirit. You do whatever feels good, but you pay and pay and pay for that. I just, real quickly today, want to pick a few things. We can pick any number of sins and see how this plays out. I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit here. But a few things are big issues in our day. One of these is sexual immorality. That is, we are flooded with that. Every which way. Media, social media, we're being trained to, hey, do whatever feels good. Live for the moment. Because realistically, how long has it been since you have seen a movie where people actually get married first before they ever would give the implications of them being together? It doesn't work that way. It hasn't worked that way for a long time. And so, you know, there's many aspects of this. Today I just want to, just real quickly, you know, focus on fornication. That's a sexual relationship outside of marriage. What does that do? Well, the way it's sold is easy. A guy gets what he wants. Let's be honest about that. Physical needs fulfilled. Get what you want. And the man learns nothing about love. Nothing about a relationship. And as soon as that relationship actually gets a little bit real and some sort of commitment's required, what happens? He's out. Now what? What about a woman? What'd she get out of this? Some emotional fulfillment initially. Hey, I want somebody to love me. I want to be with somebody. I don't want to be lonely. But the sting is pretty bad when there's no commitment. Self-esteem issues go downhill. And it really set up for codependency or emotional disconnect. Guys, there are a lot of marriages with emotional disconnect. And part of it is because people have bought into that culture before they ever were married. How many marriages even last in our day? Even in the church sometimes. And people, new Christians, and they want to do this right, and they want to get married, and stuff gets a little tough, and there's some habits here that are in place, okay, of unrighteousness. We got to think about this. I like the way Romans 6 says this. What benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you're now ashamed? The outcome of those things is death. Sin is death. Sin produces death. There is I love the way Josh said this. What's success in this realm? To live. Any other way outside of Christ ends in death. The outcome of sin is death. When a relationship with God is broken, you can think about hell a bunch of different ways. And Jesus talks about the worm doesn't die and the fire isn't quenched. I don't particularly like the thought of worms crawling all over me, and I don't think about being in eternal flames. I don't like either of those things. We can also think about this, the absence of God. Outer darkness. Alone. Because God's the source of life. He's the only source of life. You're separated from Him for an eternity? What benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you're now ashamed? The outcome of those things is death. How about drunkenness? I mix in drugs along with this today. Pretty big one, isn't it? Hey, looks good. I've seen the commercials. You've seen the commercials. You've seen it. If you haven't seen the commercials, great. You've read the book of Proverbs. Sparkling in the cup, right? Looks look good. And you know, there's something about it that allows you to fit in socially. Lowers your inhibitions, which in the moment can feel like a really good thing. makes it easier to get along with people. Takes the edge off of some of those responsibilities because we all work so hard and we get stressed out and we take that edge off a little bit. You know, just a little. Yeah, I'll tell you this right now. I've seen people take the edge off just a little, night after night after night. 40 years into that, you're an alcoholic and you are a miserable jerk to live with. There are consequences to sin. A temporary escape. They're always the morning after. There's the hangovers, the repercussions from the fights, the wreckage from relationships. I was just talking with a gentleman recently. One of the things he shared with me, the one thing he and his wife fought over, is they all had to have a couple beers every night after work. You know, why are they, what's a big deal with a couple beers? This lady's a smart lady. She knows where that plays out 20 years from now. What is it that would be worth fighting with your spouse about something that in the moment feels good, but it's a choice of the flesh? He has Steve Doty, I like the way he's been open about this. Before he became a Christian, he was an alcoholic. And one of the things he said, you gotta change that label from pleasure to pain. You gotta see where it leads. There's, you know, I was talking with a gentleman the other day and just some addiction stuff, and you have to recognize, you have to get to the end of the story. How does the story end? You got to play this out and see. Because at the given moment, at the moment that Satan offered that fruit in the garden, that thing looked good. Finish the story. Allow the story to finish. Not good. What benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you're now ashamed? The outcome of those things is death. How about living in debt? We know debt's not really promoted in our society. I still can't figure out why, when I was in college and I didn't have a job, and I didn't have any good paying job, going to college, paying money for college, why people would think that I could handle a credit card. They know you can't. That's why they give them to you then. Now, thankfully, I had some good parents. I just treated it like it was a debit card. Somehow I built credit without even realizing it. Just put gas on every month, paid it off every month. But the problem, guys, is with debt, you pay for it multiple times. And Nolan was talking about money. You know, and what? You pay money to something that's going to enslave you. It's sold right now as something free. But that credit card bill comes. And oh, you only have to pay the minimum balance. And you follow through on that, and it's not very long. You're paying 12%, 16%, 20%. What kind of insane person would pay 20% interest? Because I wanted it now, and I couldn't say no now. That's the kind of person that happens to. Passing pleasures, guys, just aren't worth the incurring interest. What benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? You can think about it different ways. Let's just say, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give God 10%, but you can give credit cards 20%? That sounds to me like weapons, these members of this body aren't being used as weapons of righteousness. They're being used to allow Satan to enslave us. How about prescription drugs? That's a big one. I got some problems. I do have problems. I have stuff I got to think through. I think the Lord says, cast all your anxiety on Him.
because He cares for you.
Seeking the Lord out in prayer, having real conversation, working through the things with the Lord, meditating on His law day and night. Think God can solve those mental problems? Oh man, you got issues and you go see the doc and you're depressed. Could I prescribe? I got a Christian friend and he was in an accident, bad accident, got on painkillers, got addicted to painkillers. Guys, you got to be careful. Satan will get you any way that he can. Finally got off those, and then he got on antidepressants and needed his antidepressants. And the way he explained it to me, he says, Luke, this is after the fact, after he said it was a fight to break through getting off those. He said, you know, the way best I can explain it, he says, when I was on those antidepressants, it's like I was in a bubble. Say it? Then nothing hard. Nothing felt. I was not worried about anything. He said, but from a Christian perspective, what it was, you don't have to carry your cross. Because I remember Jesus saying, pick up your cross and follow me. That cross serves a purpose. What the world wants to do is give you shortcuts out of dealing with that stuff. We don't get the shortcut. The wages of sin is death. What benefit are you then deriving the things of which you're now ashamed? The outcome of those things is death. Whatever price, guys, is necessary to follow Jesus Christ, I want to follow Him. Because I want that eternal life. Don't fall for the shortcuts. Don't get sucked in to the easy out, because man, the devil's willing to offer outs all the time. You look at Jesus, His whole life, you know the way that He was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. I gotta believe, this is just my veer off here, but I really gotta believe that Jesus took the devil's best shot. I've fallen short many a time in my life. I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I don't think the devil has had to give me his best shot yet. Jesus never failed. Never sinned. You got to believe the devil pulled everything out of his arsenal to try to trip him up. And you can see that in his life, but then you focus in the very last section of Jesus' life. How many outs in those last few hours did the devil offer Jesus? I think Jesus knew what Nolan talked about. I think Jesus knew His Old Testament. I know He did. I think you don't make a deal with the devil. But the devil offered a lot of outs. There was an out in the garden, wasn't there? There was an out with Pilate, wasn't there? There were a lot of outs being offered. Jesus didn't take them. Brother, we pick up a cross and we follow Christ. But the real issue here, well, I'm only on point one of my 3-point message and it's 11:30. The title of this message today was supposed to be Life or Death. All we talked about was death. We'll get to life next time. But let's just understand that we are, every one of us in here, we are creatures of habit. As those who have been placed in Christ Jesus, I'll just pick on the new guys, Caleb and Levi. You guys now got Christ inside of you. Now, that old guy's been put to death. What's this new guy going to grow up to do? This new guy's going to grow up to live righteously. This new guy is going to grow up to live like Christ. This new guy, they're going to learn to love like Josh was talking about. To not just love our neighbor even as ourselves, but to love the way that Christ has loved us. That's who the new guy is. Because that's for all of us old new guys too. They're who we are. Don't take the devil's outs. He'll keep offering them. You know, Jesus, it's interesting. The book of James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen? Any of you guys have that I mean, it matters. The Bible says it. Okay? That's what makes it true. But any of you had that experience, resist the devil, and he would flee from you? Raise your hand. Hopefully we've resisted. Okay? But you remember also this one. Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, and he overcame those temptations, and the devil left him, didn't he? He fled from him. But what does Luke's account tell us? He left him until an opportune time. How many of you notice you can resist the devil and he flees from you? But he comes back and checks in on you every once in a while. Oh, and his every once in a whiles just happened to be for him at the right time. Let's be getting to work, guys, on putting into practice some habits of righteousness. Let's live in Christ. Let's die to ourselves and have Christ live in us. Let's choose the eternal over the temporal. Let's live for the spiritual over the physical. Something I remind myself virtually every day. I'm a spiritual man with a heavenly plan. The physical is not the real. The temporal is not the real. The eternal is the real. The spiritual is the real. Let's see Christ and let's live for Him for eternity. Let's stand.